This is Tristan Beeman of the Wine Exchange in Santa Ana. You're listening to A First Growth in Food News, the SoCal Restaurant Show. Cheers.
And welcome back. Sadly, it is the concluding segment of the SoCal Restaurant Show, but the better news is we're going to be right back with you next Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels baseball. And the Halos are home tonight playing the Dodgers and looking to increase that win streak. And I am pleased to welcome back to the SoCal Restaurant Show a very big Angel fan, my esteemed co-host, Chef Andrew Gruhl of the Slapfish Restaurant Group. Good morning, Chef Andrew.
Good morning, Andy. And, you know, I got to tell you, I actually was fortunate enough to get to a game this week. It was a great experience.
Now, Chef Andrew, I am really impressed about that. And I have to ask you, because through my sources, I've been, you know, having a little difficult time gleaning what food and beverage is like inside the stadium. Can you give us some clues about what is open and what is available?
You know, I got to say, I had all the kids with me, so it was a little bit difficult to explore.
Oh, boy, no kidding.
You know, so.
Because that's a lot of kiddos, Chef Andrew, yes.
Oh, yeah. They thought I was bringing a summer camp. let's see. So, you know, actually, I saw the majority of the stands were open. So the rotisserie chicken spot and the pizza joint, and then, of course, all the regular stands were all open. A couple beer stands were closed in terms of some of the more artisanal beers. And then, you know, now what they've done is they've done everything is in cans as opposed to in draft, which, frankly, I think is a little bit more convenient anyway. And then there's spaces between the seating. It actually makes for a pretty luxurious experience, because where before you were crowded on top of one another, now it's like you've got all this spacing between seats. You almost have part of the stadium to yourself.
Yes. Well, you know, again, Chef Andrew, the good news is that fans are back in the seats, and as things seem to continue to open up, I know capacity will be able to be increased, and, you know, that's what we're all looking for. But we appreciate that little bit of commentary, because, as I say, I haven't been able to get a lot of information, you know, actually having you been at a game, that helps kind of fill in the gaps. Chef Andrew, plans for tomorrow for Mother's Day? I know we're celebrating Lauren and a lot of other wonderful mothers that are out there, but she's had a busy couple of years.
Yes, she certainly has. So, you know, it's up to her, whatever she wants to do. We'll follow and make it perfect for her. But I should mention as well that at all Slapfish locations through Southern California, we are all mothers eat free tomorrow.
Chef Andrew, you always are doing something, and I love the sound of that. And, you know, Chef Andrew, lobster for mom on Mother's Day, that seems like a good way to go, I would say.
Yeah, we've got some beautiful lobsters in right now, too. We're doing our live lobster boil, pound and a half lobsters. So now's the time. If you haven't had it, come on in, and it's on us. Happy Mother's Day.
And happy it will be. Chef Andrew, our subject of conversation for next week is going to be something that you've done a few interviews about this week, and I actually observed from personal experience this week in the 3 days and two nights that I was in Palm Springs. Restaurants are bustling there, or at least they have the ability to bustle, but the critical problem that every restaurant I was in is facing right now is severe staff shortage, both in the front of the house and the back of the house. And for Cinco de Mayo, I was at a wonderful Mexican restaurant in Palm Springs called El Mirasol. It's the Castaneda family that owns it. Two generations operate it. They also operate a small boutique luxury hotel out there. And for Cinco de Mayo, because of the staffing issue, the entire family was working the restaurant. They were either serving, expediting, or in the kitchen. So, you know, this is something that I know that is pervasive, and we will get into next week. But, you know, gosh, as things are opening up again, what an unpleasant surprise.
Yeah, and look, you know, this has become a real nuanced topic, and I think it's also divided. Some of the conversation brings up issues like, working living wage and, the notion of government benefits, altering the free market and the workforce, et cetera. And I've tried to really kind of dance around this because I think that there are many factors that lead to the situation that we're in right now. But, you know, the reality is very difficult. And I think some of it has to do with just a shock to the system, right? You have all these restaurants suddenly go from 0 to 50% capacity kind of overnight as stimulus checks are coming out, as demand goes up, as we get close to reaching some level or semblance of herd immunity by virtue of the vaccine and the number of cases that have been out for a year. And suddenly you have this perfect storm where business picks up, restaurants need labor, restaurants start thinking going into the summertime, we've got to start building labor, and then it all kind of hits at once. Now, look at that against the backdrop where the price of goods in general are also going up, right? We're seeing it. We're hearing these stories about product shortages and crazy prices when it comes to lumber and ketchup and bacon. Chicken right now is through the roof.
So oh, yeah.
Commodity products go up in prices. And once again, a lot of factors leading to that, right? Distribution. If you think back to what happened with the Suez Canal, that was an issue where even those supply hiccups will have a long-term ripple effect on the supply chain into restaurants. While it's an issue that is no longer in the news, we're now feeling the effects of it, right? So there's so many things that are happening right now because we didn't foresee any of this. And what I tell the listeners, sorry, after my rant, is what I want to say is, you know, the most important thing is be patient right now when you go out to eat, right? It might take a little bit longer. Maybe they're a little bit understaffed. Everyone's working really hard. Just understand that as things catch up. That's probably the most important piece of advice I can give out there. When you do go out, understand, hey, it might be hard to find a table. Plan a little extra time.
Very sensible, Chef Andrew, and we'll pick up that part of the conversation next week. What I wanted to get your observation on is something that I'm noticing now in a lot of full-service restaurants, that when you get a check, there is now a surcharge that's added on the check typically 4%. It's either to help fund health care for the employees, or sometimes it's categorized as to give some added incentive, something extra for the kitchen employees, for the back of the house employees. And then an even finer print on the check, they typically say, if you choose not to do this, it will be taken off. But, you know, people don't do that. Is this something that's really necessary? What is your take on this as far as hospitality is concerned?
Well, you know, what I'll do is I'll kind of put myself on the outside of this and I'll explain a few takes from others. Those who are certainly in the space of analyzing wages and, you know, kind of workers' rights would suggest that this is a real cheap way by which the businesses are pushing costs that they should be paying onto the consumer, for the consumer to subsidize things like higher wages and healthcare, et cetera. The businesses would say, well, either way, you're going to feel it, right? So if we have to increase costs on the menu by adding these benefits, then it's going to be menu prices going up. So it's really just kind of, you know, six or half a dozen. My philosophy is that if you as a business can create some sort of a calculus whereby you can add these costs internally so that you're not kind of throwing them onto the consumer at the last minute, whether that's price increases or whether that's just altering your operational force, that's always what I suggest businesses to do. But once again, it's difficult because when these things come up at the last minute and prices increase so quickly, sometimes restaurants have to create and they have knee-jerk reactions. We can't print menus out and increase prices overnight. So sometimes these are the easy mechanisms by which you can also, you know, distill some of those costs through the supply chain.
Sure. Chef Andrew, happy Mother's Day. That's where we need to leave it. And we will pick up the conversation next week. And thanks.
You're the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chef Andrew. Food fans, that's our show. A tip of the toque to my co-host, Chef Andrew Gruhl. A salute to Aaron here at Angel Stadium and Technical Excellence. Kudos also to Adam Bell on social media. We're proudly presented to you by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Doctors in the Dugout with Alan Beyer, MD, and Jonathan Kaplan, MD, takes the field next. Happy Mother's Day. Dine well and be safe.